Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live, live on the Fight Mixer Show.
Perfect.
What's up, dog?
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
What's going on? The new Wednesday host. You guys don't look like Justin and Gabe at all.
You what? We're not what?
You guys don't look like the host from Thursday show at all.
I hope not.
I mean, I know.
That was a good thing.
Less two balls and something else. I don't know. So
you guys are. So you guys are the new hosts of the Wednesday show. Karina, we were just talking about off the air that you actually fought for Shamrock FC. You're an MMA veteran. You train. Allie, you're also a fucking badass yourself. You fought as well, right?
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
I started when I was 18, 19. And then I took an eight-year break and then came back a couple years ago.
Holy shit. A little bit difficult to, like, come back and, like, actually, like...
Well, back when I started, the fight game was totally different. Like, the gyms that you went to, a lot of times your coach wasn't really even certified. It was just, we did a lot of sparring and grappling, but you didn't really actually learn a whole lot. It was a lot of just brawling. So then I came back, and there's actually, like, jiu-jitsu gyms, and people are actually more skilled, and it's a little bit more tougher, but at the same time, like, there's a lot of fighters that are like me. They have a full-time job. They have a family. They train when they can find time for it, so they're not, like, professional athletes, but they still, like, they put a lot of dedication to it.
Yeah, and Karina, same concept. I mean, you have an awesome boyfriend. You have this great life and everything. Like, how do you balance that all? I don't know how to fucking do the balancing act. Like, I don't know how you fucking do it, but, like, I can't do it.
I live at the gym. If I could probably put a mattress in my closet at the gym, I'd be there all day. I go back and forth. My boyfriend trains me. He started out with me. He started training me at the very beginning. Ever since then, I actually did aerial before this, and I was just doing a cross train to get just some cross training to help my endurance up in the air. And I wanted to fight my whole life, and so I just stuck with it, and he brought me along the way. He's ground and pound. That's his specialty. He's really exciting. I do love BJJ and all that good stuff, but it's different seeing someone put a lot more action and they're just rolling on the ground. So I get inspired by him, and we train together. We work together. We're day in and day out, 24/7 at the gym. That's all I do. You don't get burned out. I think you just maybe got to pick yourself back up again and keep pushing, because it's a lot of work to be in that cage. So, yeah. But I don't know. You just got to keep finding inspiration. I love that place, though. Man, I mean, just step in the rain. I mean, right now I'm not fighting. I had an injury back in January. So I've been off for about 6 months of doing my mitt work. But I'm training a couple of fighters for a show coming up in October. And that just gets me all giddy up inside. Like, even if I'm not going back in there, like, I need to be.
Even if you're not doing it, you almost have to be involved in it somehow. Help corner somebody, help somebody get ready. You know, you just want it. You got to stay in somehow.
Oh yeah. I love working with them, and just even the babies that come in the gym and they don't even know how good they look and like how natural some of that stuff comes off of them. I love training them. So.
And that's what I love too, is like kids are getting involved. Like, so like, and back in the day and you know, coming up in mixed martial arts, you had like one style. Like I always had wrestling, always relied on my wrestling. Like, and back there was no amateurs, like, especially for little guys like me, just fucking smoker fights. So, you know, you're in a gym, you're going to compete at this against this guy this day. And it's always against Joe Schmo off the bar stool. And, you know, like my first few fights, all I did was take down the person, lay on him for just fucking Ricardo Arona him, just blanket him. And like, you know, just squeezed on by every single round. But now you have these kids who don't have one style. They actually have multitude of different styles. They're hybrid athletes. They're naturals. It, you know, the game has evolved so fucking much. Mm-hmm. It's cool to see, you know?
Yeah.
There's at one of the gyms that I teach youth MMA, and we start them out 2-3 years old. I mean, they can't count to 5, some of them. Some of them I'm just teaching 1-2s, and it's just a game to them. But it's amazing when you see that natural talent come through. And it's amazing to just see that that young age, when here I am, I got into it later on in life. I goofed around with my brother earlier on, but I never had that opportunity. And to see these kids that are bred in that environment is a totally different game. I can't imagine to see this community probably, what, say 15, 20 years, maybe not, maybe just 5, 10. These people are just raised in that environment, and it's a totally different playing field. Give you 5 years, easy.
I think people are actually believing themselves a little bit more too. Like, so I have a show, upcoming show, September 9th, The Miseducation of MMA, where I discuss the entire history of mixed martial arts. And it goes all the way back to like fucking 15,000 years ago. I mean, MMA was always around. Fighting is like a universal language. And like, I don't know if you guys ever like experienced this, but like, even though fighting is one of the oldest sports in the world with pankration and all these different styles and all these different sports and everything like that, even though it's the oldest sport in the world, you know, people say, oh, you do fucking MMA, you do UFC fighting. Like, they still look at you fucking crazy, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Do you guys get like those looks, or like, it's still like a weird concept to people?
I think on the female side, maybe, because maybe St. Louis is a small community. I don't know how it is about you.
There's not much options around here. Like, you really have to travel to like go to a gym or find anything, really.
That's why I didn't know if it was maybe you guys, like, if someone comes across you, you're in Des Moines. Are you in Des Moines? Or are you?
No, I'm in Central Iowa. I'm in a very rural area. I have to travel a lot to Des Moines just to train.
Okay. I said, I'm wondering how sensitive they are to meeting people that are in the environment versus like, I'm in a little bit bigger city. So, and it's a small knit community here. If I go back, you know, home North Chicago, it's hit or miss if you're meeting people that had that kind of training, but they all, at the end of the day, it's still the female fighter that they're not, I don't think, quite used to meeting. You got all these girls training, but I'm not finding these girls that are competing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's still something that we're branching into.
I say there's a lot of stereotypes with female fighting. And I notice a lot of it is, one, that we're crazy or that we're very aggressive. And then it's always surprised, like, oh, well, you're pretty. And you find, like, I know a lot of pretty girls that find, like, oh, no, I'm like, no, there's a lot. Yeah. It's not just you have to look very butch to fight.
Yeah. I definitely had my family trying to talk me out of it because they didn't want me having any kind of injury to my face. And as soon as I got one injury, they weren't having it, which I get. I mean, I give girls props when they can take a punch. When I see a girl, you know, still even have, I mean, if I have a girl in the cage, and I've had those before where, you know, they have all that ambition and drive to be there too, I give them props, even though I can read it on their face sometimes, they are not ready for that. They're not feeling it, you know, but it's exciting to still see girls be branching out into that field. And that's really exciting. That's
and like Karen's saying, my family doesn't really support it either because just the way they feel about it personally.
Yeah.
I don't fucking get the maybe it's because, like, even with tape trading back in the day, because before the fucking good old days of YouTube, there was tape trading, and that's the only way you got females mixed martial arts or women's MMA. Japan, they had that promotion, Smack Girl, and some of the best fights I've ever seen in my fucking life, and fights with, like, Roxanne Modafferi, and, like, I always loved the chess match aspect of mixed martial arts, and it was always there with women's MMA, and exciting action, but also, you know, So much strategy involved. Like, I still don't get why, and maybe because I just was born into this and I just fucking love it so much, but I still don't get the misconceptions of women's MMA. I have no idea. Like,
remember when I started just going online trying to find just any outlet, many options, because it's still fairly new. And just seeing message boards of people saying that women fighting was a joke, that they'll never even be able to find a partner, all men will be intimidated by them, they'll have to date other fighters because those are the only guys that would be interested in them, and that it was just really barbaric, and they'll never see the UFC.
Which is crazy. Which is nuts. Mm-hmm. And I saw, like, Ronda Rousey. I was watching the 2008 Olympics, and I always watched the judo competitions and the wrestling competitions. I saw Ronda Rousey as this aggressive girl, she would fucking have this, like, mean grimace on her face. I'm like, she would be good for MMA. So she fought for a promotion, Tough Enough, in Las Vegas with Jeff Mayer. And it was like, holy shit, you know, I just saw her in the Olympics, and now she's fighting. And even Dana White said, you know, Ronda Rousey and fucking women's MMA will never belong here. But, like, 2009, you got Gina Carano versus Chris Cyborg, put on a fucking banger. One of the best main events I've ever seen. That was a crazy-ass fight. I think Dana White should have gotten with the program. I think the public should have gotten with the program right then and there. Like, some of these women's MMA fights are better than the men's MMA fights. I don't know this whole concept, like, you know, oh, you fight like a girl. Okay, that's a great thing because, you know, yes, like you see a lot of these fights. The wars that people have missed out due to misconceptions are crazy because they miss out on some good fucking MMA also that happened in Japan just from misconceptions.
Yeah, you got, I mean, Joanna's last fight. So, I mean, that, I mean, people that weren't even part of the MMA were still talking about. They just look at her picture. That's all you need is that, whoo, oh my God.
Yeah, I've seen that photo like five times.
That's insane. And I've had hematomas on my head. I mean, that just, that's amazing that they.
I've had what they call mouses, which is like a black eye that sticks out. But then I seen her face like, oh my God, like how bad does that hurt?
That's what they're tough, they're conditioned. That's why they're in that, you know, the cage with that person, Zhang Weili. And then there's another girl, actually, I loved watching it. It was so exciting. I thought she's a little eccentric, a little different, but Maria Agapova, who was on the last card for UFC, she came out the gates, like all sorts of crazy. I'd never seen it before, but it just captured my attention. It's like, okay, cool. So, I mean, if you're a dude or your girl, I just don't want something boring. And she was trying to bane it out and she was going for the ground and pound. I mean, granted, she got wasted in the second because she, you know, did her adrenaline dump. In that first round, I do admire. I don't like fighting them. I don't like fighting the wild girls because sometimes I just want to practice my technique in my stage. But it's watching those girls come out and just ready to bang. You know, that first two couple of rounds. I mean, that's exciting, and they're different. They do fight different than the guys.
Mm-hmm. And you guys also, I think women's MMA, they also have a tougher road to get into that octagon. Like I had Rose Namajunas on my podcast. I had Angela Hill on my podcast. And talking to them, every time I say, how's the journey been so far? They say long. And I think it's more difficult for women's, for female fighters because of those misconceptions, going to the gym, training all the time in a male-dominant sport, predominantly male-dominant sport, and putting in work with them. And, you know, sometimes, you know, as a beginner, they're going to a male sport, a male dominant sport, and they're getting clobbered. And, you know, they also are dealing with guys who don't want to hit them hard, despite the fact these women are tough as fucking nails. Do you feel like, you know, the fact that there's so many misconceptions with mixed martial women's MMA that made the journey even that much longer and that much harder?
Well, you don't have much option for your opponents a lot of time because there's not that many women. So then there's also a limit on size and who you get matched up with.
Yeah. And you have to, I don't know, girls are having to travel a little bit further to find those fights. I think in St. Louis, they're kind of getting stuck with the same people over and over. Mm-hmm. And that's cool because it makes them look good. Maybe they're, you know, beat up this person, beat up that person. But, like, are they really extending their talents to other places? Because I could be number one here, which I'm not, but I could be number one here, but I could go to California, be a totally different story. You know, I get my ass kicked out there and not knowing, you know, thinking I don't like, and I know that they do it sometimes where they hand a little bit of an easier fight in some of the local shows, but it doesn't help. And it doesn't help the girls either. And when you're talking about sparring, that's a totally different story too. You hear a lot of girls too, when they do come and spar, is that they don't, it makes us mad when the guys want to hit us lighter. I want that hard punch. If you're going to throw it that way, throw it. Match my strength. Because at the end of the day, it ain't really teaching me anything. I need to get conditioned to it, and they need to get conditioned to it. Two, they need that different experience, that overwhelming, that adrenaline dump in sparring before they get in that cage, just to understand what the feeling is like.
Yeah, you have to know what it's like to have the pressure on you. And yeah, when you have guys that are just going soft on you and they're pretty much just blocking for you and letting you take hits, but they don't actually put pressure on you. So you learn how to handle that. Then when you get in the fight, you don't know how to handle that.
Yeah. And that's what you see a lot. But I do like sparring with guys better or more because they are a little bit more tough. They have a little range. I usually have the taller guys.
I don't feel bad about just like clocking.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, though, I like still zoning in on the female fighters because those girls, again, like I said, go wild in the cage. And one of my boxing matches, I lost to a split decision one time. I mean, I was pissed. I lost that to a split decision when I had technique and the girl had a windmill. And so I wasn't ready to deal with a windmill. I was ready to deal with a girl that was probably more advanced, had more experience. And here I have a girl. And so if you have those experiences, I don't see guys having that. I don't know about you, David, if you've seen that. Has anyone seen a dude do windmills or Is it just the female side that's got this?
The girls do that. I remember when I first started fighting, like, I would get used to putting girls in headlocks because they would just start windmilling all the time.
My boxing match, she dropped me. She was a wrestler. She took me down with a double leg.
To be fair, though, like, I did some stuff, too, that you're not supposed to do in kickboxing just out of reflex.
And I don't know what it, I think it's because maybe, I don't know, I could be overspeaking, but maybe it's we're emotional. We are. I'll totally admit that. That we're leading with our emotions. I don't know if guys can stay a little more chill and bane it out more on technique. I don't know. I have not seen a guy throw windmills. I've seen them go crazy and throw some shitty kicks. But
I
not.
Feel like we're at a disadvantage too, because like I have to worry about if I'm gonna be like on the wrong part of my cycle when my fight hit. And that's something you can't control.
I think with men's MMA and females MMA, they're both still misconceptions about them, which, you know, I can absolutely see why. And like when people go into the gyms and they do that fucking windmill, it's because they're scared. You know, fighting's a scary concept for people, yet we're genetically prone. We know how to defend ourselves. We know how to defend ourselves before we know how to talk. It's in our DNA. On any given day, anyone's grandma could knock me out. Everyone knows how to fight and defend themselves. But do people really want to get into a fist fight? Like other sports, it's so widely accepted because, you know, you drop a soccer ball, people know how to kick the soccer ball. You have a football, anyone can pick up a football and throw it. Basketball, same thing, throw through the hoops. But I don't think MMA is such a widely accepted sport is because everyone knows how to fight. Nobody really wants to get into a fight. And especially these newcomers that come into the gym and they spar for the first time, that oh shit light is glaring and they fucking just like go crazy. You know, they bust their nut within the first, like, 30 seconds. I'm sorry. Ladies, I'm so sorry. Like, terrible analogy. I'm so sorry. Fucking ungentlemanly. I'm so sorry. But, you know, they lose their gas tank within the first, like, 20 seconds because they're actually scared in there. People fight even at bars because they're scared. They don't want to, but they have to. They feel in a position to defend themselves. I think once people lower the oh shit lights and they feel more comfortable with technique, learning technique, honing that craft, then they're a lot more comfortable with, you know, hanging back, being defensive, you know, and
one misconception I fall into was, like, I try and convince my friends, come train with me, come with me, you know, even if you don't want to fight, it's a great workout, it's a great thing to know, and everyone seems to think that we go 100% in training, and that we just sit there and, like, punch each other and knock each other senseless, like, we're practicing. You're trying to learn. You will not learn if you just get hit 100% the whole time, like, and I wouldn't try and coax you to come over so I could hit you in the face.
Yeah.
So I was, have you had experience with the girls sparring though, David?
Absolutely. Yeah. This girl, Vicky, who's one of my favorite people and she's a boxer. She doesn't go light on me. I don't go light on her. She's a very skilled boxer. She's a very good boxer and she's listening. Shout out to Vicky. And you know, she has great technique, great footwork, you know, and she has better footwork than I do. And if I make a mistake, she makes me pay for it. And she also helps me with conditioning. And whenever I went to the gym, and gyms are closed down now, obviously. But, like, you know, she's one of my favorite people. And in jiu-jitsu, too, you know, guys are fucking stupid, okay? And if you grapple with a female, they're thinking 20 steps ahead of you, just like in life in general, you know? Like, it applies to grappling. It applies to boxing. Quick to think. Quick to set you up. Quick with their setups, quick to, you know, put you in positions where, you know, they're setting you up. Because obviously with male genetics, they're going to be stronger and sometimes bigger. Not me, because, you know, I got the suit from Baby Gap. You know, I got this clothes from Baby Gap. You know, I'm a little guy. But, like, usually guys are bigger than their female counterparts. So they got to think and use their head, use good technique. So when you're grappling or you're sparring with someone an opposite sex, I feel that they're a lot smarter than you. They're a lot quicker to think. They're thinking 30 steps ahead of you, and they're going to try to trap you. They're going to try to beat you with technique. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but that's how I feel.
I think a lot of guys are surprised when a girl, they can lay their weight on the person in BJJ or wrestling or something like that. But they think they can just use that weight against them, and it doesn't because, the girl can be calculated. Both sides can be calculated depending on who you're rolling with. But I do agree that their girls are probably more calculated, but they are more literal too. Sometimes I think we just overthink the stuff, and that is 100% truth. I definitely did have some guys try and roll with me, and they weren't thinking, want to have big old hands, have a nice, really grip. But two, they underestimate. Some of the girls know how to use the, you know, that little wrestling experience or just something that, I don't know. it's just something that I think guys overlook. And I don't know, girls find, I think girls are really fit for BJJ. They're really doing great with it. I like to see them. And that's one of the most upcoming things with women too right now. I love seeing children do it. Yeah. But it is fun rolling with the guys, and they're not expecting to see what the girl's going to pop out, whether she be new or not, you know.
And the best thing ever.
I probably have more of an inclination for the defense part. We're used to just having to, like, kind of wither away real quick.
When we're tickled. When you're tickled. As a five-year-old, my brother, oh, my God, he was number two in state for wrestling. But the only reason why I really wanted to wrestle because he would tickle my ass until I pissed my pants. But it's happened, and he's 40-something, and we'll still, like, that's the number one thing. Like, if you even get us in the same room, we'll still try and shoot on each other. We'll wrestle each other. I think he strained my back, like, 5 years ago. Like, it's bad. But if you got an older brother, I think you already know how to wrestle. So that's one of the things when you're matching someone up. Look to see if they have brothers.
Yeah, so I grew up with boys, so that probably was a big help.
Yeah.
I grew up with all girls. Three older sisters and one older brother, so I'm the baby. So everyone did track. You know, I was the only one that wrestled. So
where and my friend, do you to like beat up boys for them all the time?
At my sister's wedding, I was like, well, I'm retired from scaring away all your boyfriends, so you know, kudos to me, right? Like, yeah, at my sister's wedding, you know, it's just, you know, but I see what you're saying from with that. And I told my friend Vicky, you know, the girl I was talking about before, that I was like, dude, you can make 90% of males cry, you know, and she can. I mean, she laces up dudes, especially in that ring. And if you don't have technique, if you're not thinking on your feet, if you're not bringing it every single time, and you try to go lightly on her, she's going to fucking tear your ass up. I mean, she super good. I mean, super good fighter. And, you know, I see women's MMA doing such great things and being bigger than what it is right now. And it all starts with misconceptions going out the window and everyone being equal and playing on equal playing fields and everyone treating each other equally. Because in actuality, everyone has their strengths and weaknesses. Same thing applies to MMA. Same thing applies to both genders. I see no difference, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think the girls are still in their baby stages. I think we've seen the guys can only still get better, but the girls, as far as like what the cap is there, or if there is a cap, or, you know, what is our environment going to look like in, like I said, 5 to 10 years, that's still in the air with the girls, I feel like. Either way.
With the whole women will never see the UFC, and where are we at now? So yeah. We're making strides. It's a slow process.
Absolutely, was just a beginning, and we saw that quickly fade away really quickly. And how many years did we see that fade out real quick, because we thought this was the best, you know? And then we saw what happens when these girls start getting acclimated to that and how quick that got transitioned. And now you see we have a goat over here who's, I mean, I don't know if Rousey can, you know, do some of the things that some of the new girls are up and coming, if she can bane with them. And she's an amazing person. I'd love to see her come back in the ring. Get back into a little bit. I don't think she was done. I don't know if it was mentally a thing, but I'd love to see where she is at now with some of the new breads that are coming in. Those babies are going to be scary. Like I said, 5 to 10 years, just give it to them.
Mm-hmm. And they're all a different generation. Because, like, a lot of the fighters I know, they're around my age or so, like, the only reason they got into fighting because they grew up rough. So, like, they have this, like, troubled history, and that's what got them in there. And now we have these kids whose parents were either fighters or they heard about it and want to get them in jiu-jitsu, and they don't have that kind of, like, back baggage with them. And I feel like it would probably help them a lot in the sport. They don't have so much stuff going on in their head once they walk in the cage. And this is more something they picked up in a more constructive way as a child.
I like that Society actually got with the program too, because now it's empowering females too.
Yeah.
So like, females are going to go into gyms now completely empowered, so confident, both here and up here. And I think that's a lot to do with it too, where you're going to see a new breed of fighters, especially during this Me Too movement and the women's movement and women's, like, you know, empowerment. I think we're going to see a completely different fucking breed of fighters in the next 10, 15 years. I completely agree with Karina.
Yep. So how did you get transitioned, though, in MMA from your wrestling?
I kind of just, you know, I've always loved mixed martial arts. You know, my first video game I ever got, my sister Patty got me Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, and I played it, and, you know, I had hand-eye coordination, and, like, if you realize that as a little kid when I was beating up on fucking Mr. Sandman and Mike Tyson, you know, when I was, what, like, 4 or 5 years old, and, like, No, I grew up in a Mike Tyson loving home, and from there, like, Mike Tyson, you know, of course, got arrested and for all this shit, and then, like, pro wrestling, I always saw pro wrestling, and I'm like, oh, shit, Mike Tyson's in this now, and Ken Shamrock, and, like, and even, like, go back, you know, the first UFC I saw, I was mind-blown. Even though it was a big infomercial for Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, completely mind-blown. It was the coolest thing ever to me when I was a little kid. And then, you know, UFC went underground, and you saw Ken Shamrock and Mike Tyson all in WWE, so I started watching pro wrestling. And then, you know, I realized that Pride had a big thing going on, and, like, I saw Kazushi Sakuraba, who did both pro wrestling and MMA. I'm like, holy shit, he can do both? And then he fought, I don't know if you guys ever saw this fight, but he fought Royce Gracie. Yep. Royce Gracie, you grow up thinking, you know, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu has a death touch. If you learn Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, you can kill anybody. And you kind of, like, grew up. Yeah, exactly. So I saw Kazushi Sakuraba, this little Japanese chain-smoking, drinking pro wrestler who tooled Royce Gracie for 60 minutes. And you're like, wow, you know, if that little guy can do it, I can do it. And then, you know, right after I graduated from 18, I took my first fight. It was a smoker fight. I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like, I didn't even know. Like, they locked me in, and I'm like, what the fuck am I doing here? And I just, I fell in love with it. You know, I laid on the guy. It was the most boring thing ever, and thank God nobody was there to watch it. But, like, you know, I always fucking loved it. I always loved it. I had no idea why.
Yeah, there's those moments. I hope I still get those moments, but, like, that Royce Gracie, that's one of the moments where you see, you're watching a sport, and you know it's a profound moment. You know it's something that's probably leading to change, or that brings you excitement, like, what else is to come? I hope there's more of that. To come in the fight community, and that we have, like I said, we haven't seen everything, hopefully not, because I want more stuff like that. And I want to be able, hopefully, that we'll discover, even on the fan side, just discover these new openings in the MMA community of these different opportunities, different styles, different breeds, like I said, of people, to get people excited like that. That's really cool. I didn't see any, I didn't see too much in person, but or Mike Tyson or anything like that, but I definitely got to see my Hulk Hogan rip his shirt. That was my profound moment as a child. I was like, oh, I was on my dad's shoulders and walking me down there just so I could see him close, and that he did it. Some of people I don't remember for the rest of my life, but it stuck with me. That stuff does mean, and people think, you know, some kids are eyes, whatever, they don't really know what's going on. There are so many different things, and just little things like that are just bred in a kid. Just push them, push them, push them.
Maybe that's a starting point, because I used to watch wrestling too when I was a kid, and I loved the Hardy Boys.
Yeah, no shit, really.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. And so how'd you guys both get involved? Well, you guys obviously are the hosts. Like, how'd you guys get involved with mixed martial arts?
I'm gonna go out.
You want to go first?
I don't know. like I said, I did. I grew up with a family that liked to bang it out with people. We're very well known in my neighborhood. We're known for, my brother and sister were always troublemakers, so they're about 10 years older than me, and I always see them get into fights. And so I actually grew up thinking that a milestone in my life, not like going to prom, or a milestone in my life would be to grow up and get in a fight with someone. So that's something I actually looked forward to as a child, which is kind of sad, but we're a fun family. We're a really great loving family. But my brother is something else. He ended up getting into like Marine Recon and Special Forces. He's now into some special stuff too right now. My sister probably knocked out more dudes than I have. Yeah. she's great. And his wife even, like, we all have that kind of love and but temper. So I grew up with that, and I didn't harbor it right as I was growing up in my 20s. And that actually started coming out. I always wanted to be the person that stuck up for someone. So if I saw someone getting a fight in public, I jumped in for them. They didn't have to know me. I just come out trying to slam on these girls just to stand up for someone else. They didn't know who the hell this crazy chick is, just coming up and slugging on people. That was me. So I knew that I was in a bad spot in my life, and so I kind of had to fix that. I had a lot of anger issues, and I ended up getting into aerial later on. So I did aerial in the air. That was great. Stuff like circular life. I love that. And I didn't want to do fighting because I didn't think I was going to be okay to do it at the age that I was getting into all of it. And so I chose aerial because it was safe. And aerial is one of the best things I ever did in my life. But even 2 years in aerial, I had to go back, and I wanted to learn some sort of MMA, boxing, kickboxing, all that stuff. And so finally, 2 years after doing aerial, it just wasn't enough for me. And so I decided to take my first boxing class, and it stuck. And the coaches ended up, you know, trying to keep me around a little bit longer, a little bit longer, a little bit longer. And then I ended up having, I got into aerial, not really want to be throwing my age around on social media, but I got into aerial at 30, if that says anything. I had just quit smoking after 13 years, chain smoker. And then at 32 is when I got into kickboxing MMA, having been a fan of everything, never getting into it myself. And then within, what, 4 or 6 months, then I had my first boxing, then it was kickboxing, and kept going and going and going. So it has been a huge game changer. I love teaching people. I think that's a way of teaching myself, is putting it, whatever I've learned, onto them. But I picked up on it really nice. I never thought I would like kickboxing, hated kickboxing, never wanted to do it. I only wanted to box, and I ended up getting kickboxing, and that's where I think my sweet spot is. So.
How about you, Ali?
Well, so, I mean, we have a lot of things in common. One thing is that I grew up kind of poor and in a really rural town, and I was always the smaller one. I was always the younger one. So when it came to being in groups, I usually got targeted a lot. And so I kind of had to defend myself a lot. I grew up with my boy cousins, and they're really rough, and they kind of beat on me a lot. And then getting older, I was like 18. I was a senior in high school, and I'd seen on MySpace there was an ad for a fight gym that was like 5 miles from me. And it was in a schoolhouse. They were in a room. And it said the coach wasn't certified. Like I said, it was just a bunch of like sparring we were doing. We're signing up for fights. There was no blood work. You never knew sometimes who your opponent was. Sometimes they would change the day of, or they'd say that they couldn't come in, but they filled the spot. I mean, it was definitely an experience, but it was definitely not what it is now. And it's kind of the way things were is why MMA kind of has such a bad name right now that's trying to fix. Because we have made a lot of strides in the sport. When I came back, I was scared to come back for a little bit because I wasn't sure what it was going to be like. And I just thought everybody was going to be like a pro fighter now. And I didn't really stand a chance. And my brother stayed in it the whole time. And he kept asking me, he's like, you should come back. Like, you would do so good. And I was like, I don't know. Like, I've been out of the game for so long. And so we would just like play around in my living room. He'd bring over his mitts and we would spar. And he's like, I don't understand. He's like, you got better over the years than you were before. And after 1 year of doing that, I finally said, fine, I'll sign up for a fight. And he ended up giving me a title fight when I came back. And that went to decision. It was kind of like a mixed review on that. There were some people that thought I won, and you're kind of always going to have that decisions. And then I did some more fights, and then me and Karen did the kickboxing fight. And like, I agree with Karen, like, I really like kickboxing too. I feel like it's a lot funner. It's a lot more fast paced. But growing up, I was always kind of like the bully's boy. I would find the kid in class that was targeting the kid that had some kind of disadvantage to him or something they couldn't help. And I'd sit there and I would degrade them publicly and make them feel bad. So, I mean, I did have some anger too that I was trying to work out, but I feel like I was being constructive about it because I was targeting bad people. But there's a lot of things, I mean, you work through, and I feel like fighting can help a lot of people that have like depression, anxiety, or past issues that they're trying to deal with.
Right. And Ali, just so like, and I think we have a lot of things in common, especially with how we got involved with the sport, because you know, I love mixed martial arts so much. In eighth grade, I bought 2 pairs of weightlifting gloves. I used to have a fucking fight club on the soccer field of like my middle school, you know, and we all used to fight like in that fucking soccer field. And actually, I think it was either 10th grade or 11th grade where this kid was actually picking on a mentally disabled guy. So I wait for him outside of this class. I think it was Miss Monacus or something. Wait outside, and then I picked him up, put him against the locker. I said, if you talk to him like that again, I'm going to slit your fucking throat. I got terrorist threats against me, and I had to go to a PAL boxing center in Hackensack, New Jersey. And that was my first time hitting a heavy bag. And I'm like, holy shit, you know, like something to take my anger out on. And I'm like, this is what it feels like. And that was my first experience of actually hitting a heavy bag. And it was mind-blowing to me. It was nothing felt better than putting on that glove and hitting something. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like, you know, the answer to all my life's questions and my anger and my frustration with the world. And I grew up, you know, broken home. I had my stepfather who made up for things like when my biological father was out of the picture. And I grew up with my stepdad, God rest his soul. But hitting that punching bag made more sense in the world than a lot of things in the world. And I think the MMA community, that's why we're so close, is because a lot of us have that baggage. We have those issues mm-hmm. in one way or another were broken, and we came to this community and fixed ourselves by ourselves. And, you know, I think that's a beautiful thing, you know, especially all the stories that are involved in how we came together.
And that's what our stance, like, people don't know how, like, close the community is and how we're all very close together and we all support each other. There's so many fighters I'm friends with that I go to events that they are fighting at and help corner them and help support them and try to help them out any way I can. And no matter what, like, I tell people, like, when you come to have a fight, like, your first fight, you could lose. And you're going to have so many people, fans, fighters, come up to you and say, you did a good job. You did this. You need to work on this. Do you want to come to my gym? Do you want me to help train you? I'll help get you ready. Do you need a corner? Like, it's just, there's so much help and there's so much acceptance that I don't think people understand with such a sport that they consider barbaric.
Yeah. That's hard to wrap my head around, too, when I was first involved in the community and I had, you know, my MMA match, which I actually lost, and that was something that bothered me when I had fans coming up to me and they're saying, you know, oh my God, you're such an inspiration. And the whole time, all I could think was like, why? Why
were I know, you're like, I lost.
Lost. Like, did you not see the stupid shit that I did out there? I don't do that. Like, I wish you could see the way I roll, you know, when I'm training. I don't know what that was up there, but mm-hmm. I don't know why you would be inspired by that. And I feel bad because it makes me kind of not bitchy in person. If I lost, I just remember these two girls. And I was just like, I just didn't believe them. Like, I didn't believe them because I'm like, I'm not used to people coming up and being supportive like that. And I was just like, are they taking a picture with me because they're making fun of me? Are they going to, like, what is it? And you know, I was nice to them, but I wasn't all myself because I just not acclimated to that kind of culture. And the more I did, you know, then I got more relaxed and it's cool. And it makes you grow up personality wise. It makes you, you know, just pick your, you know, get the chips off your shoulder. You know, it's cool. People are here to help you and, you know, banging on. Not everyone has this hidden agenda on you. But yeah, the fight community has definitely taught me some things. I think it's taught a lot of people, and I get really excited when people are just jumping into it that are looking for something to save them or to change them or just to, you know, that feels good. I don't know what it is that drives people here, but it's a great spot when you get to it.
Mm-hmm. And even every opponent I ever had, like, my fight coming back, like the last time I fought before this in 2017, the last time I fought was like 2012. I already had a bad neck because I also do pro wrestling. So I had a bad neck. I need to get, you know, work done on it. So I came to this fight in 2017, you know, doing well, took him down, like everything going to plan. And I completely just got, I froze. And I got caught in an arm bar. They tapped me out with an arm bar, the slickest arm bar I've ever seen. I was like, holy shit. Like, and even backstage, I'm like, dude, you got to show me that arm bar. So we dropped our drinks. We went by the practice mats and he showed me that arm bar. I mean, even opponents are fucking great. MMA fans are wonderful. Everyone's wonderful. But also even the opponents are accepting too. I think our community is just super fucking tight. And it's awesome, you know?
Yeah, I love that. I think I'm friends with about 90% of the people I fought.
There's always that one. There's always that one that had to be a douchebag.
Yeah. And so, and I don't even know if it's, you know, even on my part, I think it's just more so like, have, you know, Are they gonna like me? Maybe they can be, you know, feeling the same way on that side too. I don't know, but yeah, it's a different environment to get into. I have a question. This is something stupid. Just because you're talking about wrestling the whole time, have you ever, David? Have you ever seen a chick with cauliflower ear?
Oh man, have I ever seen a chick with cauliflower ear?
People, you can tell that they're a fighter like a mile away half the time when they can wrestle. I can't do that. Yeah.
So right? I had my cauliflower ear drained twice. So you still see a little bump there, but you know, I think it's permanent. But like, have I ever seen a girl with cauliflower ear? I don't think so. Maybe once I trained over at Waku in Boston, and one girl who I forget her fucking name, but she actually ended up fighting for Bellator. She fought, I think, once or twice for Bellator, but I think she had pretty bad cauliflower ear, or she, you know, maybe her ear was naturally like that. But I think that's the only time I actually saw a female with a cauliflower ear.
I've just thinking about that. I'm like, I've never seen that. My girlfriend,
that's a good point.
Yeah, they have hair loss because of rolling. I've broken some. Lots of freaking hair. I haven't wrestled that much lately, so it's finally going back nice. But that I could probably tell maybe.
Or if you wear like headgear, yeah. I remember we were practicing with it, and it just rips your hair. There's no way around it. I try looking up so many things, like what do you do when you have long hair, trying to put on headgear, and like there's nothing. You're going to Velcro your hair every time.
Yeah. I just like the idea of being able to look at someone and I can tell that you're a wrestler. I can tell that you do this. I can
tell
the aerialist girl, you will see she has huge, massive lats, upper body, tiny waist. Like, there's different things about, like, the things that you're shaping your body to do. I think it's really fascinating. I like identifying just like, oh, that girl's brunette. Oh, that guy has blonde hair. Like, I like looking at someone and I like reading them. I'm kind of quiet in person. So I always just like guess. And I always enjoy looking at a wrestler. I like seeing that they have a cauliflower ear. I'm like, that automatically makes me excited to meet that person. But I've never seen a chick, and I can't really tell the chicks when they have the girls that come out banging and they have all this experience. I mean, I wouldn't be able to tell them on the street. I feel like
girls are harder to read like that, because I'm not sure if it's a fighter thing, but I've noticed too, like, I size people up when I meet them.
Yeah.
And I almost like try and guess like how good of a fighter they are. And with girls, it's hard because I've had opponents that were smaller than me that could hit harder. Like, you can't always like judge girls based on how they look and how tough they are.
And I grew up in a female dominant environment with all my family, so I'm definitely not going to fucking call you out if you have cauliflower or anything about your anatomy. So, like, no, you guys are in a better position than I am to tell if they have cauliflower in here, like, you or not. I mean,
I'm a
gentleman or a pussy. But, you know.
Who would have that shit?
I don't know.
Not many girls take wrestling. It's not normalized, I guess, enough to where they would develop one.
Are you Googling right now girls with cauliflower ear?
Yeah, I'm looking to see.
I'm doing the same shit. You got me.
Does that time? They're showing dudes, but not she does, but she has tiniest ears. Like, I have big ears. Like, I'm older, I get off. Like, what the hell? Like, if you
haven't framed your hair around them now.
Hands. Like, this is like, that's like a 3-4 inch ears. So don't ever be impressed with I got like big ass ears. So I don't ever
want to care about your ears. You framed your hair around them.
No, Ronda Rousey had cauliflower ear. Wait, hold on a second. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. But her, they're tiny, so I guess you can't really tell. Some of the girls, though, like...
Well, okay, and girls can just cover it. So you probably, if there are girls that have it, you probably just don't notice. They never wear their hair up.
Cyborg got herself. Cyborg has to. Come on.
She has to.
I mean, they stick out like they do. They don't look misshapen like some of the people are, but yeah, they stick out.
What do ladies do if they have two cauliflower ears? Do you do the Princess Leia? Like, how do you cover that?
Yeah. Really?
Girls
have all the tricks. Just wait. Mm-hmm. More girls will know. There's going to be plastic surgery quickly on top of that stuff.
You guys can just grow a beard if you're ugly. That's it.
See this beard? Yeah, there's a reason behind it, because I'm ugly.
It's man contouring.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I bet there's a lot of jits girls that all have them. You think that? Have you guys ever seen like jiu-jitsu girls that
it's becoming
them?
More popular, so you'll probably start seeing a bit more.
I would hope so. I would think so, but they just don't stick out of my mind. So Vince, I don't know if you see that back home, people that girls at least that have some sort of trait about them that deals with jiu-jitsu.
And my first fight I ever had was a girl that was in wrestling for 4 years and she didn't even have one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to take away and say that they don't go hard either, or I know they go hard. There's a girl that's a great BJJ over here. I don't know who the hell can beat her over. She's been all over the country. I'm going to look her up.
Part of it could be like the coaching. Cause like we were talking about some of the guys we spar with don't want to hit 100%. Whereas I think some coaches sometimes go easy on their female fighters and they don't push them as hard as they do their men.
Yeah, but so hopefully we can get her on a show sometime soon. I was just talking to her, my friend Dakota. Like I said, she's been all over the country. Everywhere she goes, she will get the gold medal. I promise you. You can look her up, Dakota Zimmerman. She's a Bellator veteran. I sparred with her. Sweet girl. Very more feminine built than I am, though. So I get really jealous of that stuff. Like I said, the dainty little pretty ears. But she, I mean, rolls 24/7, and I don't see that either with her. So I don't know I'm just now thinking about this stupid like little tiny thing that you think of like late night, like that you can't sleep for, like,
yeah. Actually, Karen, I've never asked you because we're about the same size. Do you ever get self-conscious when people point out like, oh, you have such big guns, your arms are so big, it looks like you do roids?
Yeah, I wish I was a freaking normal chick. Like, I feel
like guys point out to me if I wear cutoffs, they're like, oh my gosh, your arms are so big.
Yeah, I mean, that too. A lot of people think I, even if I didn't work out, people think I'm already like ripped for some reason. The girls have big arms. It doesn't help that I have massive freaking hands. I'm telling you, they're big hands. I don't like it. I mean, I like it for like jujitsu and stuff like that. I can grab you. You're not going to get away. I promise. But I don't, people point out stuff like that. I don't know if they're being nice about it.
Yeah, because those women were always like wanting to be dainty and small. And then when a guy's like, oh, you're really buff. It's like,
if you look at my social media accounts, I think that's where I try and make up for and try and post like, oh, I'm cute kind of crap, but I'm
trying to rip this big door.
Like I can look freaky, like after like rolling on the mat, don't look at me, just look away. Like,
which was funny because when we got matched up together, we both were like, that girl's really buff.
I was noticing your guns. We fought last year. And I just remember looking at her face off.
And then our face off was like, oh, she's my size.
Wait, so you guys fought each other?
Yeah, we fought last year.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, for
Brian Green of the fight series, which I love about him, she can talk about him. That's technically her coach, but
well, I mean, he technically was my coach. The gym's kind of no longer running.
Yeah, he did a good. I like the fans out in Des Moines. I will say that I heard
good. It is a good group.
Yeah, you guys are nice. Not everywhere else.
So. Oh really? So
how did the fight go between you guys? Like what happened? When the decision? Okay.
Which, and I have no arguments on it. I was very well aware when it was the decision that Karen had collected a few more points than me. So that's why when they said that I had lost my points, I was totally in agreement. But I mean, I had a good time. Like, I felt like we did a really good exchange back and forth throughout the whole time. And it was my first kickboxing fight, so I thought it was fun.
Yeah, you did MMA. That's what, that was my, I love my kickboxing. I need a remake up some stuff in MMA. I still have a chip on my shoulder. I got proof some stuff there. But your fight with me was my favorite match of all my
same.
And it was, you know, one, I remember looking you up and I was like, oh, she calls herself Alpha. Okay. Lit a fire into my ass when I saw that, because I think that same way too. So I'm like, okay, so you usually hate the people that you're going to like the most probably. So I was like, oh, I gotta get something about. I have to, but if I go in there liking you, it ain't gonna happen.
That's the thing too. I have to try and not think of the other person as a person. So like, I didn't really try to look you up because like, I'm not looking to see if she posts anything funny or anything I like.
I'm all over your ass. If you even mention your name for a matchup, I'm like, who's this bitch?
Like, she's already talking shit.
Yeah, but not really mad. I'm just like, I mean, I'll totally get intimidated by someone, but I'll find something about that person to make me want to get in it. That's a problem. So,
and I think
the problem is a good, it's a thing that drives me. Cause like I said, I went to a fight one time and there was one that went to split decision and I went there kind of sleepy. I'm like, oh, whatever. I don't need to fight this girl. I ain't going to do anything for me, you know, but I didn't go in there with the aggression I have. I find myself an aggressive person and I don't know if it's always a good thing, but mine, yours, my fight, that was something fun. And then went all three rounds. I got to practice more technique with Allie here because, like I said, I had a lot of wild girls. So it was really cool to finally be able to exchange more experience with Allie here. People love the fight. We did have Paige Van Zandt. She was our judge that night.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool to have, you know, someone a little bit higher up, despite anyone's opinion on her. So don't anyone say shit. You know, for her to watch a match, that's a really cool thing to have. So, and it was fun. I liked it. And Allie, of all the people too, I just remember thinking, I felt more like, not sympathy, but like, damn, this girl has heart in the match. Cause like, I don't know, you just kept coming back at me and I no matter what I gave you, like I just, and that was impressing me mid-match. I'm like, there's so much shit going through my head. I don't know if guys are like that.
Love that
you have out there as you're fighting like commentary, but I was just thinking like, damn, this girl is not gonna stop.
I remember just like loving it because like you came out there and you were bringing it, but you didn't have like this like rage with you. You were very expressive. Like we knocked each other down like multiple times. Or you get up and you're just like, okay.
I'm glad you don't think I was weird. I don't know if you remember this, but I know you said you got your nose open from a previous fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
that you bleed a little easier when you
My nose gets tapped once, is bleeding the whole time.
I felt like a sick bastard or something like that, because when you got your nose is opened up, I mean, that was just like I was excited. I remember looking at you and I'm like I said, and I was like, I want blood, like that's all. So I feel bad for you on that part, Allie. I'm sorry that I can get a little weird, but like my MMA match, that's all I wanted to do was puppy, which is really bad, but that's how I think when I go in there.
I've busted it almost like every fight lately. It's not very sturdy anymore. But I remember my first fight coming back, I had to panic because I broke in the first round. I was like, okay, so if I make somebody bleed, what is the only way I wouldn't think I was winning? And I was just thinking fast, like, if only I thought that I just made them mad. So I just try to, like, keep my face strict and just looked like I wanted to murder her. And surprisingly, I was controlling the fight the whole time because I convinced her that I wasn't hurt.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no. Yeah, and we have a question for would you ever consider doing bare knuckle, both of you guys?
I don't know. I don't know what it would feel like. Because, I mean, a forearm hit's different than a boxing hit.
It hurt. Well, I've been hit in the head with a cell phone, so that wasn't very fun. But that shit. Yeah, it was. Cell phone, but I definitely closed my eye up the next day.
Yeah, the hits will definitely take some major damage on you. And I guess I don't know what to expect on it and how I will react. So, I mean, I don't know. Then I get worried about, like, head trauma. Because, like, that's something that makes serial killers.
How did you feel, though, when you were matches, so?
Huh?
How did you feel in your MMA match when you got touched with that small glove the first time?
That was definitely an eye-opener. Like, I didn't realize it was going to hurt. Because you just assume when, like, you train with, like, your teammates and their guys, you're like, they've definitely hit me really hard so far. Like, I have a good idea what taking a punch is like. And then you get full-on hit by somebody else. You're like, oh, no, I didn't have any idea.
My MMA match, the chick, I didn't think she could punch right. She punched all sorts of funky. And so
it also depends on your opponent, too.
Different. I was like, okay, so you still have maybe a weird-ass little punch. I don't know what that was, but as soon as I touched it, I felt bad because that's where I don't like seeing it in the ring when I see other people do it. But like, I wanted to shoot immediately because I wasn't ready for that. I underestimated what this feeling was like, and I knew how it had been punched. But it was a totally different feeling. I guess maybe if you're more accustomed to it, acclimated to it, be different. Bare knuckle, though, I want to, just because I want to test out my hands on someone. I promise I'm a really nice person. You guys are getting to know me. But I have a lot of different thoughts in my head, just always wanted to fight. And that's what I'm saying. Like, I have big hands. So I always thought, like, because a lot of the girls, when they do MMA, I see these girls, and again, they're dainty, little tiny hands, pretty, they're gorgeous girls, but they're dainty. And I get excited when I see a girl with more, not build, I don't have a huge build, but I have bone. I mean, if you want to kick my hip bone, it's going to break your foot. And I'm not even going to blink, probably. So, I mean, I want to. These things are horrible looking, and I want to. So, if this says anything, like how big, I don't know. So, fun, but I'd probably be crying, honestly. I'll be a little bitch.
So. All right, gang. So, we got the cue from the producer. We're going to start wrapping up the show. So, you guys are going to be hosting every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. I don't know what time zone you guys are in. But any parting words from Karina and Allie, the new hosts of the Fight Mixer for Wednesday nights? What are your last thoughts?
I'm happy to be here for you guys. Be nice. Don't kill me too much. I love to take comments and questions and hopefully give you guys something to vibe on every Wednesday night at 7:30 or 8:30 Eastern.
I'm excited to be here too. Definitely didn't think I'd be doing something like this, but I also probably didn't think I was gonna be doing MMA either. I would definitely love some positive feedback, but at the same time, if people want to be haters instead of a bunch of negative comments, I really don't care what you have to say anyway. It doesn't really affect my day.
I must be cosplay because nobody really gives a shit. No one cares about negative comments. You know, there's positivity, and you guys are gonna bring on some great guests, and you guys are gonna do a bang up job, and I'm gonna be watching every single Wednesday. So
and we can change some like misconceptions on the female sport. Like there's a lot of things that people really have the wrong idea about.
Exactly. And you guys are going to solve every single one of them. And I'm absolutely fucking confident in that. So from the Fight Mixer, Wednesday show every 8:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain Time or Pacific Time?
Or Central.
Yep. Central Time. Okay, perfect. So 7:30 Central Time, tune into the Fight Mixer with these two great gals. We're going to educate you all about MMA and drop more knowledge than UPS. So thank you very much for joining us. Karina and Allie, can't wait to see what you guys do. And we're signing off from the Fight Mixer. Peace.
Bye. Perfect.
Hi, I'm Matt Seibel, producer of the Fight Mixer show. We have a good lineup of guests coming up next week. Take a look for yourself.